the warehouse world, what we used to do, right, is we used to have to stand up. Like, everybody used to stand up in this room. So imagine this, like, the brains of the operation. What I mean is, like, the control production room. That's what I always used to say. I'm just a dumb warehouse guy. Because when it comes down to it, it's just putting boxes on trucks, right? Stop overcomplicating the freaking job and put the shirts in the boxes, man. That's it. Welcome to Reading the Room. We're here in this space because we're always approached on how do we do everything we do. How did you know that? How did you know you tell that was going to happen?
So we thought we'd make it a podcast on Reading the Room with our insights and share as we go a little from our past experiences, things we're going through now.
Giving our perspective on certain topics, both professionally and personally, to give you the edge you need to read the room you're in. Hey, everybody. It's Gerard here.
Sarah, welcome back.
Welcome back. And we're just talking about, there's a lot of things we want to talk about. It's early in the year, and we're in the mode now where everybody wants to, all the stuff they want to do and all the things they're going to accomplish and things like that. And really what it comes down to a lot of times is sometimes we overcomplicate things. And what I mean by that is, you know, the task is what the task is. And sometimes you create goals to say, hey, I'm going to sell this, or I'm going to accomplish this many more things this year. But really, what is it, the one thing that you're trying, what is the core value? What is the thing in your business or your life that you're trying to accomplish, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and a lot of it is sometimes people just like to hear themselves talk. And that's another thing too.
I'm not one of those people.
I don't know who's trying to say here, but I don't like to hear myself talk. But, really, so I always go back to a time in my life where, you know, I was running a warehouse, I was running a distribution center, and I don't know if you guys know how distribution centers work, but one of the things that I asked her to do in her business is there's a first shift, and then there's a second shift, and then, well, there's a first and second shift, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So explain your business, and like, so first shift comes in,
right?
Then second shift comes in. So what happens with that?
So our first shift is just coming in, it's the day shift, and then they do what they're supposed to do, but they also are prepping for the night shift. So that way when the night shift comes in, they can do what they have to do. And then when the night shift is getting ready to leave, that's when they're prepping for the morning shift to get their stuff done, what they have to do.
Right. So, but when the first shift is there and the second shift comes in, how does the second shift know what happened for the first shift?
Well, there's a relay of communication as far as like letting them know, hey, this is who got fed. This is who's had diaper changes, ETAs, ratio, things like that. Things maybe that they didn't have a time to get done. So we can kind of jump on that if we're coming in for the night shift and get it done before we go.
Got it. So what she's saying is there's a handoff, right? Mm-hmm. So, right, a handoff.
Handoff. I like it.
A handoff. That's what we used to call it. We used to call it a handoff. I mean, it's typical warehouse. Anybody who knows a distribution center or warehouse, they know that there's a first shift, second shift, there's a handoff, right? And really it is like, okay, let's say that the goal is to do 300,000 boxes today. And the first shift does their 150,000. Or let's say they fall short and they do only like 100,000 instead of do 150. There really has to be like, hey, guys, here's what we got, here's where we are, and here's what you have to do to be successful for the rest of the night, right? So how does your handoff, so some of the things you do are, like you said, you do like
diaper checklist done, food served, you know, meals that need to be prepped, what else? Cleaning. So yeah, we just go down the list.
Simple task. Here's what we got done, right? Yep. So in the warehouse world, and what we used to do, right, is we used to have to stand up. Like, everybody used to stand up in this room, right? So imagine this, like, the brains of the operation. What I mean is, like, the control production room where you can see, like, all the monitors. This big fancy room with all the monitors and, you know, just all these charts and all this stuff. And really, we go around the room, and they start with receiving, because receiving is, like, where all the boxes would come into the warehouse. And they would say, hey, look, you know, we had 20 trucks today. We only got 12 done because we had 20 people call out and then nobody was here, and then the belt broke and then this and that. So they're basically, what they're doing is they're giving all the excuses of why they couldn't get done what they needed to get done today. And then the second shift's looking at them kind of rolling their eyes like, oh God, here we go, you know. So that's because they know they got a lot of work to do. So what used to happen was these manager people used to go around the room and talk about all the reasons why they couldn't do what they needed to do. Or if they had a great day, hey, this is what we did. And that was the thing, right? We used to call it, no gap, no yap, right? Mm-hmm. So if you hit the number and you did what you're supposed to do, shut up. Hey, man, we did it. Good. Because, well, like I said, manager people like to hear themselves talk. And then especially when the boss is in the room, because they want to show the boss how smart they are. So they want to use fancy words like proliferation of SKUs or opportunistic substitution and all these other fancy warehouse words that just mean like we picked this box instead of that box, right? That's why I always used to say I'm just a dumb warehouse guy, because when it comes down to it, it's just putting boxes on trucks, right? So I say all that to say is that we go around this room and the supervisors would say what they had to say, and then the managers would, who were the, in charge of the supervisors, would say some fancy words about why they didn't need to do what they needed to do. And it would just continuously go around the room. And I'm looking around the room all the time. On the great days, when we had great numbers, all right, man, move on. No gap, no yap, right? We don't got to talk about it. But on bad days, I got to explain. So the supervisors would just talk. And then all of a sudden, the managers would talk about what they did and what, and, you know, band together as brothers and be men amongst men and all this stupid management talk, right? And what was another one, like move the needle or lock arms. So you don't know anything about this stuff. I used to do this for 20 years. I used to listen to crap, right? So then they would go around the room giving these soliloquies, listening to themselves talk. And then I'd come in the room and they'd be like, oh, Gerard's here. We need to make sure that we're on top of it, you know, whatever. And they would just keep talking and talking and talking. And I'd be like, yo, man, are we making the number or are we not? Well, no, we're not making the number. And then they would just, you know, so then I'd let them keep talking. And then HR would come in and say whatever they're going to say. But then, are your meetings like this at all?
Not at all.
Oh, so your meetings are pretty much, we change diapers, we fed the kids or whatever.
We're in ratio. They're just trying to get out the door. And a lot of times it doesn't happen right when we need it to, as far as, you know, day shift transferring power over to the night shift. But yeah, so this is new to me. But
you see, I didn't, see, here's the thing too. I didn't used to come home. She always asked me like how my day was, right? And I wouldn't say a whole lot, right? I would tell you whatever, because I wouldn't want to talk about this stuff anymore. That's really what it came down to. It's not that I wanted to share my day. It's not that I want to talk about what was going on, but I would share my, I would just like share my day. I would not want to share my day. I just won't talk about it anymore. But all right. So back to what I was saying. And then there's this thing called piggybacking, right? I don't know if you guys know what piggybacking is, but piggybacking is when John says, you know, on days like this, we need to work hard and make sure we thread the needle with the this and that. And then Joe would say, to piggyback off what John said, I think that we, so then it would just be this thing about just piggybacking the whole time. And I'm sitting there looking around the room and everybody's shaking their head. And I'm like, you guys are like, are you serious? So, all right. So all these things happen. All these people were talking about all these things. And like I said, what I thought was they were overcomplicating the process, right? But when it came down to it, it was either like, you really just need to know like what you're working on and what you're trying to achieve. And then leave it at that, right? So yeah, going back to overcomplicating the process, right? So the supervisors would talk, then the managers would talk about what the supervisors did, and then the senior managers would talk, and that's when they wanted to really get smart because they were vying, they were kind of like jockeying for a promotion because Gerard's in the room, so I'm going to make them sound like I'm all smart. So they're piggybacking off of everybody, and they're all of them talking, and then I'm in the room, and I know you're looking at, what?
I'm just wondering what these are.
So she's wondering what these things are. And you hear that? You hear that? So I'm a, you know, so here's what we're going to do. Go ahead. So you're, so right now I'm going to.
Okay. So we're having a little commercial break while he shows us what's underneath that sweater. You got it off? You ready?
So I'm ready.
Okay.
So.
Okay. I like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Look at that.
So like I said.
Okay.
Supervisors would talk. The managers would talk. The senior managers would talk, and they'd be like, Gerard, give us words of wisdom. What are we going to do? And I would stand up, and I'd already be standing up, and I would say,
can they read it?
Can you read that? You know what it says? It says, put the shirts in the boxes. Put the freaking shirts in the boxes. That's what I would say. They would go around and make all this noise and do all this talking, and when it came down to it, I'd be like, guys, put the shirts in the boxes. And I said it so much that when Christmas came around,
they made you a shirt.
We had an ugly sweater contest, and they made me a shirt with my name and face on it.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. That's pretty creative. What year is this? Circa?
I don't know what this is. 2015, maybe? And they made me a shirt because that's what I used to always say. Stop overcomplicating the freaking job and put the shirts in the boxes, man. That's it. That's it. And it must have stuck with them because they made me a shirt. right?
They put a lot of thought into it.
They put a lot of thought into this shirt. And I was flattered. I was like, yo, man. And you know what's funny? I sell houses now. And to this day, I'll walk around and somebody be like, yo, G. I'm like, what's up? Put the shirts in the boxes. Mm-hmm. Because it's simple. Like, yeah. What is it? What is the thing in your world? So here's the deal. In your job, in what you do, where is it where you just got to put the shirts in the boxes and stop trying to think about all these fancy things you need to do? Just put the shirts in the boxes. That's it. And I wear this shirt every year because it just comes down to like, this is what you got to do, right? So what do you think? So I try to keep this thing under wraps. Listen to it. They put bells on it.
They've got bells on it.
I got a wreath on it.
On the wrist where you move your arms all the time.
I mean, look at this thing.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
It's impressive.
It's amazing. I don't even know where they got this picture from. I don't even know what this is. I don't know where they got this picture.
But you said that all the time for that to be the quote that's on the sweater.
That's it.
Put the shirts in the boxes.
So here's the deal. Think about your business. Think about your life. Think about what you do. Right? Even the dog is.
I mean, even if it's something that stuck with them, it was just simplified. It wasn't overcomplicated. You got the point across. I really like it.
Put the shirts in the boxes. These dudes piggybacking all the time. We talk about this and soliloquy. So like, so remember, so you know what a soliloquy is? Soliloquy is one of my favorite words. It's that word. It basically is in Macbeth, right? It's a Shakespeare play where the dude was just talking to himself, looking out the window, listening to himself talk, right? And these dudes just do this and just put the shirts in the freaking boxes. Mm-hmm. So look, think about what you got. Think about your business, your life, your goals, whatever it is. When you're planning your goals about, you know, growing your business by 20X, by the this and that. And just put the shirts in the boxes, man. Just keep it easy, right? So thanks, guys. This is a fun one. I was getting hot with that other shirt on. And this thing makes a lot of noise. And I was probably jingle belling all over the place. But thanks again, and put shirts in boxes. See you
next time.
See you later.